The podcast network is supported by Neo.org, a social network with a purpose, to transform the world by enabling people to transform themselves, and Tony Kynaston, our first TPN patron. Become a TPN patron or a member of the TPN 500 by visiting tpn.thepodcastnetwork.com.
There's a way, such a better way, today, today. Raise your voice, tell the world there's a better way. Today there's a better way. Ooh, there's a way, such a better way. Today, today. Now raise your voice, tell the world there's a better way. Today there's a better way.
Hi, this is Rod Adams, and it's time for Atomic Show number 157. The show today is an interview that Lisa Stiles conducted with Joe Colvin, the new president of the American Nuclear Society, during the society's meeting held in San Diego. The interview took place on June 15th. I'm sorry it took me so long to post it, but it's been a busy time for me. Hope you enjoy the interview and get inspired by the plans that Joe has for the society during his tenure.
Thanks for meeting with me, and I know it's been a busy few days.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the industry and ANS are in a period of flux right now. Where do you see ANS, how do you see ANS changing to deal with the changing environment of policy and legislation and technological advances?
Well, I think the society, first of all, the society has done an incredible job in its 56 years of really providing input, independent input, science and engineering and technology input into the political process, decision-making processes that occur, that we've had, especially in the first round of the first build round for nuclear plants. We're at a point today in the United States and in the world where nuclear technology is in fact gained significant public acceptance, and is the energy of choice going forward for most of the countries and most of the companies that need to build electricity generation to meet their customers' needs. So that, coupled with the climate change issue and the concern about emissions, greenhouse gas emissions, we're really at the catbird seat, so to speak. I mean, the society is positioned today to be receptive, responsive, and to in fact contribute significantly into the decision-making process going forward. I think what we need to do, if I digress and look back at the society, we basically are developing through the various professional and technical divisions a tremendous amount of intellectual capital. The question is, how do we get that intellectual capital out in the public and to become understood, and how do we, for lack of a better term, market that to bring it to bear on these policies? And so one of the things we're looking at in the society is to try to how to reconfigure the society, how to change, how to get the right professional staff to support the divisions, the volunteers. We have basically 11,000 paying, dues-paying members of the society. We have another 10,000 members that are members of local sections that don't contribute to national. We've got 21,000 people across the country that can provide that kind of independent science and technology input into the various processes.
So it sounds like you're planning on better harnessing the volunteer power of 21,000 members. Do you have any specific?
Well, yeah, absolutely. One of the things that we're looking at, we developed a strategic plan back in 2005 and 2006, and when we looked back at that through a very detailed organizational review that was just completed, we realized what we haven't done is really implement the changes in the plan that we need to implement. Those require resources, money, changes to human capital, physical capital, and other types of resources. So there are things, for example, we need to be able to access all the science and technology efforts that have been undertaken in a digital fashion. Right now, a lot of the documentation we have is all hard copy. And so one of the things the board has been looking at is how to make an effort to go forward to digitize that and make it searchable online to the members and available to the members. So, I mean, that's just one simple example. Another example would be to try to ensure that we have the appropriate professional staff that have the capabilities to, in fact, see the benefits of a given technological innovation and then, in fact, help bring that to bear in supporting the volunteer members who have, in addition to the work they're doing for the society and for the nation, they have a day job.
Right.
So I think what we're trying to do is figure out how to put that all together. And you know, that's going to take a fairly major investment of dollars, resources, going forward. And what we've been working on in parallel with that is a, call it for lack of a better term, a capital campaign to try to partner with our major corporations and businesses that are involved in the society to in fact partner with us and what you know and share in the. In both the front-end expenses and investment, if you want,
right.
as well as the benefits that are derived from those changes.
Have you been successful soliciting that?
Well, we've actually gotten a tremendous amount of positive support. We haven't got any dollars because we haven't haven't really asked for the dollars yet because in order for us to go to companies like Exelon or Southern Company or others, we have to be able to, in fact, deliver on some of these commitments. And so what we're trying to do is look to the value propositions and develop those so that we can say to those companies, here's what we will do and bring to the table, and we'd like you to share in making that happen.
Right.
So it's kind of there's a quid pro quo that has to take place.
I understand that kind of support at the top level. I know that. Let me pause this. So there's the top level of the effort. I know as a national member and local section member. When we've tried to respond quickly to media or such a much quicker news cycle than there was when the society started 56 years ago, is there efforts to make it easier for ANS members to speak on behalf of ANS?
Right. Well, that's one of the things we're looking at, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, the word I would use is to be agile.
Right, exactly.
We need to be able to, where necessary, to draw upon the society's resources and to bring that to bear in a timely manner such that we are relevant.
Right.
I mean, if we're there 3 months after the horse is out of the barn, we're not relevant.
Right.
And that's one of the things we need to do. And yet we have to balance how we do that with
Absolutely.
With ensuring we bring the right value and proposition to the table.
Right.
The whole effort that we're looking at, I mean, if you go to the between the local sections and the national, is to try to figure out how to capitalize on all the people that are working and involved
right.
in things
exactly.
and how to know who is, in fact, you know, who we can tap, who is the experts in these areas, and how do we do that? You could have a response team, but you have to know that. And and one of the things that we don't have the capability on within the headquarters now are the management information systems and databases that can be used that have the data and can be accessed easily. Let me just say that most of the information management systems we have are archaic at best, ancient at least. There's nothing in the that uses Microsoft platforms today, and so we're basically back in the dark ages in the way technology has advanced, and we haven't kept up. So that's another major area that we're looking at as to how to make that type of transition to give us the tools to be able to do that.
Right. If you were able to accomplish one of your major goals as president, what would it be?
Well, I think the first major goal is to ensure the society is relevant and involved timely so that we can be seen as relevant as the nuclear renaissance proceeds.
What would that look like?
What that would look like would be that the society would be seen as the go-to organization for information on science, independent information on science, nuclear science, and technology. And that's really the issue. The issue is, you know, if you look back in the first round of nuclear bill, the society provided a lot of that input. If we look today and where we are, we've gained tremendous political support just over the last year. We've got tremendously increasing public support, positive public support, and the companies are moving forward. The question is, where is the society?
Mm-hmm.
And how is the society going to contribute in that? So I think I see my role is really taking the society and taking the steps, working with the board and the membership to try to, in fact, ensure that happens.
What do you think your biggest challenge is in accomplishing that?
Well, there's probably two challenges. One is, I mean, there's obviously an inertia of the society, and to ensure that we basically energize all the membership in supporting the activity and understanding the activity, and understanding that we're not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. And the other issue is the resources, because all that takes money, whether you're talking about, human capital, we're talking about other, capital type, equipment and offices and things of that nature. I mean, those are all very expensive types of things. And, we're very limited on the budget side. I mean, we're drawn from the members. But I think one of the things we also looked at, I'll just bring up another point along that same lines. We need to figure out how to be smart about helping our members that we want to get involved. I mean, if I take the one area we're losing members on is in the third or fourth year of college. We have people that join it, and part of the issue is just simply the dues cost. We have the same problem with dues from the Chinese members and Russian members that want to be individuals, that want to be members of the society. A Chinese nuclear engineer makes about $300 a month. For us to ask that person to pay $140 in dues may not be part of the part of the issue. And so we're looking at we've got the membership committee looking at some of the innovative ways of trying to look at the young generation activities and whether it's, Young Gen, North American Young Gen, WIN, student sections, international. The whole bailiwick of trying to, in fact, look at this holistically and say, what are we really trying to achieve in the end? But I mean, with all the electronic information that we use, the marginal cost of a member is very small. So if you add another member here, another one there, the cost to the society is not very, very much. So we have to be smarter about how we use that. And I think that's one of the areas we've got the membership committee looking at. We've got the special committee on integration oversight. All those things are melding together or emerging with the capital campaign, with the organizational review, and to try to pull all that together and then lay out a path for the future that's going to be successful.
Okay. If there are, there will be, I'm sure, ANS members listening to this, and if you could personally ask them to, what would you ask them to do to help?
Well, we're going to ask all the members to help at some in the very near future. We're on a fast track right now with the board of directors to go back and look at the initial results of our organizational transformation initiative. Call it what you want. We're really looking at it's real simple. How do we go back and implement a lot of what's in the 2006 plan? But you can call it what, and we can call it what we want. But we've got the board looking at that with a special committee, and we're going to try to get the board to make a decision on the next steps to go forward, including to releasing some of the reserve funds to start these processes within the next 30 days. So we will be back to
releasing the reserve funds is a huge.
It's always a very emotional step, and yet what we're really looking at it more is an investment in making the change. If you what we don't want to do is use reserve funds for operational issues.
Right.
On the other hand, if we look at using the reserve funds as an investment in improving the technology, improving our capabilities, then that investment, if you do it right, will bring you returns that are more than the value, the cost of making that change. And that's what we're really trying to balance. So the board, we're going to try to get the board to make the decisions on how to take the next steps of that within the next month. And once we finalize that, then we'll come out with the communications to the members. At the end of the day, we're going to ask the members to support it. $1, $10, pick your term.
If they can give hours, but not dollars.
Well, we expect them to give hours. But one of the things, if we're successful, if you just take an example, a lot of the members have of our members have difficulty in getting time away from their company. And getting supported to come to the meetings. Because the companies are under budget. But if the companies see a tremendous benefit that the society is delivering, then it's going to be easier for them to support their members. So it works. It's a two-way street.
Right.
And so if we're successful, we will enable it, and the returns will come, and so we'll be able to to get those people to do the get the work done, provide the hours,
right?
You know, with have being paid and being compensated by their company.
Yeah. Okay. And one more. What do you most look forward to in the next year?
Finishing my term as president. No. What I really look forward to, being serious, is to be able to go out and go to the various local sections and the various student sections, and like I've been doing, and meeting the people, meeting the members. I mean, that's where everything, you know, meets the road. I mean, that's the basis of this of the whole entire society, is our membership. We're member driven and we're member supported, and it's just really incredible to go out and see what kind of work's going on. I mean, I've visited, in addition to the members, I've visited several of the national laboratories, that there as the ANS incoming president, and I was blown away with the technology and what's going on and some of the innovations and creativity that are being brought to bear in these areas. So it was really exciting. So that's probably the correct answer. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, that's great. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
And good luck. And your membership is there to support you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that interview. I want to put out another call for anybody who's interested in the possibility of supporting independent pro-nuclear activism, either in a volunteer way or financially. Sometimes it's easier just to make a check or write a check, give a donation, whatever, and have somebody else get out there and attend the meetings and do intellectual battle with the forces of evil that are trying to oppose nuclear energy development, or even to shut down actively producing nuclear energy facilities. So let me know. See what your thoughts are, and hope to hear from you soon, and I will be providing you some more information, some more shows, and some more material to think about. Take care. Bye.
There's a way, such a better way. Today, raise your voice, tell the world there's a better way. Today, there's a better way. There's a way, such a better way. Today. Now raise your voice, tell the world there's a better way. Today, there's a better way.
You're listening to the Podcast Network. Listen, learn, evolve.